Welcome to the third video podcast in our Frontline Leadership for Extraordinary Times series. We're speaking today with Mrs. Katrina McCombs, Superintendent and Chief Educational Officer of the Camden City School District. Thank you for joining me today, Katrina. I know that you're incredibly busy right now, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak with our members and share your personal challenges and experiences during these unprecedented times.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's great to be here, and thanks for the invitation.
Great to have you. Good to see you on our podcast. You know, I'm so impressed that in reading about you and having spoken with you in the past, that you understand Camden probably better than anyone else that I know could. You've attended and graduated the public school system. You promote the growth of Camden's neighborhood schools and support your teachers with the resources they need to deliver the best level of education possible in the classroom.
Yeah, Rich, I am so very privileged to work in the district that just instilled so much in me. So it's really an honor to serve in this role. And never in a million years, I started teaching kindergarten in 1991 back at Mickle School, which is the same school that my mom went to, my aunt and my uncle. And so never in a million years from 1991 teaching kindergarten until now, fast forward, did I think I would ever be sitting in this seat leading a school district, let alone leading my own school district? So it is really truly an honor and a privilege. And that's the well that I draw from, even in times of crisis like this, COVID-19, to continue to just do the very best I can, because I benefited so much from the very sound education that I got in Camden, graduating in 1987 from Camden High School. I had a chance to go on to Lehigh University and later to Teachers College Columbia. But I always found my way back home to Camden, where I never said I would ever come back. And I'm so glad that I followed my heart. And that's what helps me to serve the students, the families, and the teachers of our great city.
Now, you know, the news about Camden is only getting better and better every time I look at it, and I'm really proud to see that you're a part of it. What an inspirational story. And of course, now the times are more challenging for everybody. And I know that in the past weeks, I've spoken with some of our colleagues who were in suburban communities, not quite the same as being in an urban community facing the kind of challenges that you are dealing with, and all of your, not only your teaching staff, but the community, the county government, the local government. Now that we're dealing with this new norm of social distancing, working remotely and implementing online programs for kids, what are some of the unique challenges that you face there in Camden that many of our other districts may not quite have the same challenge?
And that's another great question, Rich. I work and serve alongside a cadre of consummate professionals. When I think about my colleagues, other superintendents in Camden County in particular. And even though we have very different demographic backgrounds for the families that we serve, some suburban, urban like myself, rural, we are still finding that this crisis kind of levels the playing field for us all, because we are all facing many challenges. So one challenge that I do think might be a little bit more unique for us here in the city of Camden is has to do with really, really, truly thinking about how to deliver remote learning opportunities in a way that is going to provide a thorough and efficient education for our students. But also in a space where we may not have access to technology in all of our homes. We recently completed a survey, and this was actually prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, because we already knew that there was a digital divide that existed in Camden. And so we completed a survey, and the results of that survey showed us that less than 30% of our families in Camden have access to either a device, a laptop, Chromebook at home, or also to internet service that is, you know, uninterrupted. And so when we were thrust into this remote learning situation, the biggest hurdle that we face that I think is different from my colleagues is that we have just a large number of students who need access to internet and access to technology. And so what we've been able to do is really to put the word out. I was able to write an op-ed and share that the digital divide is something in our city that stands in the way of there being that equity and educational access right now. And so we had philanthropists, Campbell's Foundation, also the Camden Education Fund, as well as Townsend Press, got together in partnership with Cooper's Ferry and Cooper, the Cooper Foundation, to provide $400,000 to devote specifically to high school students, ensuring that all of them receive a Chromebook. So we have 1,550 high school students. Now they will all have a Chromebook. They've been ordered, and we're just waiting on Dell to deliver. So our first shipment of 1,000 will come in this week. And so we've also been able to use our title funds, repurpose them in collaboration with the state in order to provide K through 12 enough Chromebooks for those families who don't have any. And so we're doing what we can to be responsive, but that digital divide is something that kind of sets us apart in the city right now.
Yeah, what a challenge. There's been a lot of conversation about that, not only in Camden, but cities similar to that, about that digital divide and the longstanding potential impact that would have as this schooling from afar, if you will, continues to go on. So you've kind of given us an idea of how your job is changing as the chief education officer. What are some of the other things that have moved around? I know that we're all doing Zoom conferences and we're trying to maintain contact with our staff. What are some of the other things that have kind of kicked you out of your normal routine? And what are you doing in terms of changes in operating as the chief education officer?
Absolutely. And so I think connectivity, right? Trying to make sure that we stay connected as an organization, as a Camden City School District, in light of the fact that we're not physically connected, has been something that has challenged me to think outside of the box as a leader of our organization. And one of our core values at the district is communication and collaboration. So we strive to make sure that we are operating through a lens that maximizes communication and collaboration, because we really believe that when people feel safe enough to bring all of their ideas to the table, and then when there is fluid communication and collaboration throughout the organization, that the best decisions can be made, the best possible alliances can be formed that benefit our young people. And so that has been the number one challenge, making sure that we are staying connected, staying consistent. I know my cabinet meets still every week, but we're just doing it through Zoom and other platforms, my executive leadership team, but also making sure that in our meetings with principals, that they're happening on a regular basis, that our teachers are getting the guidance and support that they need. But then mainly, Rich, it's about making sure that our families still feel engaged with the educational process, even though physically they're not able to walk to their neighborhood school, talk to their neighborhood teacher or principal, but that the platforms that have been set up can also continue to nurture and develop that engagement. So we've done a lot of work thinking about, you know, what can we do to keep families connected? And so we have several platforms, Zoom, but we also have just the old fashioned, pick up the telephone, teachers, and make sure that you're making contact with families every week. Our guidance counselors have been given a directive and mandate of the number of families that they should be reaching out to every week. We also have family and operations coordinators who support family engagement work, and they also are tasked with making sure that they are able to stay in touch with families too. And so we're just trying to ensure that no families slip through the cracks. It's hard when you're dealing with 7,500 students in our traditional public schools, but then across the city of Camden, we have 15,000 students in either charter, Renaissance, or traditional public. So, you know, partnering with our charter and Renaissance leaders to make sure that regardless of school type, that all of our families are being serviced right now is also something that has caused me to grow as a leader in my idea of what collaboration, true collaboration in service of putting students first, what that really means.
You know, you've hit on such an important topic, Katrina, about it seems to me whenever there's a crisis, whether it's Superstorm Sandy, whether it's the crisis that we find today, people turn to their schools. They turn to their local schools. They're looking for hope. They're looking for connection. You know, and you are trying with your staff to provide that connection that you're talking about, to instill some optimism, help them to still feel connected. And I know how difficult it is in a place where many families are unemployed or will now become even more unemployed because of the circumstances, who may you know, have deprivation of food, and you're out there delivering meals to kids and their families. It's such an important role that you're playing. And having talked about that a little bit, what's the sense that you're getting back as you and your staff engage with parents, with kids in the community to the best that your ability will allow you to do that?
So we, I think it's so very important, and every superintendent and school leader does, because we have standards that we that drive our profession and make sure that we are operating at a certain level. So involving stakeholders and making sure that we have continuous feedback loops in place in order to get information back, so that, you know, we may be working so very hard as a district to meet the needs of our students, but if it's not landing in the way that we desire it to be, then it's not really as effective as it could be. And so we do have a team that focuses specifically on making sure that whatever initiatives we put in place, whatever it is that we are trying to provide for our families and our students, that that we can just get a pulse check on how it's being received. And so through that means of communication, we have a solution center that's set up, and it's staffed with individuals who can take calls from parents, even during this crisis time, to say, hey, listen, I need to know where the meal sites are, or I'm having a hard time getting in touch with my teacher, or, you know, my child has this question, how can I get helpful resources over here? So our solution center really does support us in being able to get that information back. And so what we've been hearing is that our parents are actually very, very grateful for how the district is not only focusing in on their children's academic achievement during this pandemic, but also how the district is trying to meet the social and emotional needs of students as well, by having our guidance counselors contact them, by having resources that talk about, you know, what is it like to not be able to see your peers every day, you know, as high school students versus our pre-K students. They all miss the peer group and, you know, they're developing, but how do we help them to deal with that? So we have really done we've been intentional, I should say, about trying to make sure that we're looking at the whole child and putting out any supports that we have in alignment with that whole child approach. And our families are recognizing that, and they give us feedback through our Facebook pages, our Twitter pages, our district website, and also through our family and operations coordinators. They let us know, and they also let us know when they have needs that they feel are not being met.
You know, I'm reminded that in good times, in some of my training sessions, I have a question I like to ask the participants. And I ask them about the teacher that most influenced their life. And I've never heard somebody say it was the teacher that got me 5 more points on the SAT. What they've always said is it was that person that believed in me, made a connection, supported me when I needed it. And I suspect you and your staff are becoming the favorite teacher for so many people in Canada right now. I just want to really credit you and your staff for what you're doing for the Camden community. You really are an inspiration and a motivating person to show people that you've come from that elementary school to sit there as the superintendent of schools for all the kids in Camden. I want to thank you for participating with us today. I'm sure that our members will find your information, your insights valuable and also enlightening. So thank you, Katrina McCombs. Thank you for the work you do. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Rich. I sincerely appreciate it. Thanks so much. And thanks for your leadership and your example.
Thank you. And to all our viewers, remember, we'll be distributing one interview per week. So please monitor your email, visit njasa.net, and subscribe to our NJASA podcast. Until then, I'm Rich Baza, Executive Director. Please stay well, stay healthy. Thank you so much.